You're listening to the Bird Dog Babe Podcast with my mom, Courtney Bastion.
This episode is presented to you by Purina Pro Plan and Boss Shot Shells.
I think hunters are a really good example of shooting instinctively and intuitively because you didn't have a show bird. You know, you didn't have somebody, by the way, it's going to come out right there and it's going to do this in this angle, this direction, and at this speed. And the line that you need to plan, you don't do any of that. So obviously people are able to still hunt well, especially bird hunting. So obviously, though, like anything else, performance can be hindered if somebody's worrying or doubting or fearing or insecure, second-guessing, lacking in confidence because they won't pull the trigger or they'll flinch or they'll just shoot above or, you know, the different things like that that could happen, or they won't shoot at all. They won't even pull the trigger. Your best self in that moment would have been present and engaged and would have done it if you were like, okay, this right here, right now.
All right, 5 more sleeps until the kickoff of the NAVDA Invitational. That's how we count down days with toddlers, so I'm going with it. But let's talk about the real heroes that are staying at our place to manage the children, dogs, horses, goats, chickens, pigeons, ducks, and chucker. That'd be my amazing in-laws. Thank you so much, Tom and Beth Bastion. We are so grateful and love you so much. I will be there at the NAVDA Invitational Saturday to Tuesday, repping for Purina. So find me to discuss the best nutrition options you can provide for your dog. Please be sure to thank all the judges and volunteers that are helping to put on this big, awesome event. The Hawkeye NAVDA chapter always goes above and beyond when they host the invitation. It's one of my favorite grounds. You guys rock. Speaking of Purina, one of my title sponsors, if you didn't listen to last week's episode with Dr. Lauren Stump, be sure to do so. She provided some real bombs about canine nutrition. All of our German wire hair pointers and dogs are fueled by Purina Pro Plan 3020 chicken and rice, and the Brocky are all on Purina Pro Plan sensitive skin and stomach. On my trip to central Montana this past weekend, I was sure to add Fortiflora to each of the dogs' meals at night because the heat, the travel stress, and hunting conditions can affect a dog's GI system. And there's nothing like the powers of probiotics with Fortiflora to keep their stools firm. Boss Shot Shells. So you know what's awesome about shooting exclusively Boss? Is that it's non-tox. So when I arrived to my first destination on Sunday morning and found out that it required non-tox shells throughout the entire region, I didn't have to go back to my truck and swap lead because I only shoot Boss. There's no reason to throw lead around the uplands when you have a superior alternative that packs a punch with copper-plated bismuth of Boss. And let me tell you why I'm extremely grateful for my Dakota 283 kennels. I like to take at least 3 dogs with me on hunting trips. I hunt 2 dogs at a time, which means one dog stays by the truck. I opted for a Leitner cargo rack system over a truck box because the dogs have more ventilation and Dakota 283 kennels lock. I don't have to worry that someone is going to steal my dog or that dog will overheat while I'm out hunting. I've had other kennels in the past, ones that don't have lock options and ones that are too heavy to lift in and out of my truck. Dakota 283 offers unparalleled protection, so go get yourself one and keep your mind at ease at Dakota283.com and use promo code BIRDDOGBABE for 10% off. Siren, shotguns for women. But they're not just for women. I know several men that love and shoot Siren because it just fits them better. A shorter pull and reduced grip radius helps everyone that doesn't fit that average guy standard in which most guns are manufactured. My Siren 20-gauge Tempio Light fits me like a glove, and at 5 pounds, 10 ounces, I have no issues carrying it all day long. For all options Siren has to offer, go to SirenUSA.com. My guest today is Dawn Grant. Dawn is a mental trainer and hypnotherapist that focuses on the mental game specifically with shooting and hunting. Dawn discusses the importance of being more mindful, calming your mind, body, and turning off all the outside noises to be present when you hunt. The mind games that happen when we're out there isn't something to overlook. Have a listen to this episode and learn how we can overcome struggles we may not realize are present. All right, let's get after it. Good morning, Dawn. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So we start hunting season in just a couple days here in Montana. And I thought with a lot of the mental games that go on with hunting and shooting that you would be the perfect guest to kind of help us out with the start of the season of things to keep in mind. So if you wouldn't mind, Dawn, give us a little introduction about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I'm excited. I think it is good timing as well. Well, I am a mental trainer and a hypnotist, actually, and a degree in psychology, and have had a private practice in Amelia Island, Florida for over 20 years. And basically what I've done is I've developed my own training programs through the years of working with people and understanding their minds and understanding the issues and kind of thought patterns and belief systems that they have within their mind that can hold them back from being their best. And so what happened is I started working with a lot of different athletes that then expanded to elite athletes, PGA and LPGA tour pros, and then world champions and Hall of Famers and Olympians and a lot of different sports in the last several years. Well, since 2010, a lot of that turned into clay target shooters, so shotgun sport shooters. And mainly it kind of spread like wildfire because they're a pretty tight-knit group that they're all pretty friendly with each other. So I went from working, you know, most of my time with PGA and LPGA golfers into working with shotgun sport shooters to the point that 4 years ago I ended up buying my own shotgun club. So I have a lot of experience and exposure to it. And most of them are hunters. So not only do I understand the carryover, but I use it a lot as an example with my clay target shooters as far as, you know, what they're able to do instinctively and intuitively out there hunting is really what they need to apply to their target shooting. So there's some carryover. A lot of times it's in that direction, but the carryover can go over the other direction too, like building confidence and such with familiarity and practice at clay target sports that will carry over into the hunting.
Is clay shooting something that you've been doing yourself for a while?
Initially, like 2010, it was pretty new to me. It was, you know, a client that came to me looking for help to get into master class. To me, at that point, it was like any other client coming to me, and I had worked with a lot of different athletes. So a lot of athletes want to know if I do their sport. So no, I don't do all the different sports, but it was new to me then. And then I learned all about it and go to competitions 6 to 12 times a year. So, you know, I've got a lot of exposure, and then owning my own shotgun club, and, you know, I shoot out there for fun. So I'm not on the circuit as a competitive shooter, but I kind of live it and breathe it at this point.
Right, right. And I saw most recently, you've done some training with Kaylee Browning.
Yeah, Kaylee Browning has been, I started working with her when she was still in high school. And she was, you know, had a dream of being in the Olympics, and worked with her a lot over those years and helped her through different things in her life and in her sport. And, you know, that just moved forward, and she became an Olympic alternate several years ago, and then she qualified for the Olympics, you know, here recently, and was supposed to be there last year, but it, you know, it's happening right now in Japan, and she just got done, and she won a silver while she was out there.
I saw that. So incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. Especially, you know, watching her grow up and living out her dreams and seeing the different obstacles like any human that would have through those times, and then seeing her live out her dream is really cool.
Mm-hmm. So how does that look like sessions with you when you do training with people? Is it where one session is going to work for a long time, or is it, I don't know, like similar to a chiropractic appointment where you, each time you go, you get improvement and the benefits will last a while with that?
That's a really good question. So because I am a hypnotist, a lot of people think that they can just come to me and I'll, you know, wave this magic wand over them and all of a sudden they're better in one session. And that's not how it is. But I will do one session with clients who have been previous clients or who have already gone through my program. So what happened through my work experience is, you know, back hypnotist, opened up my own practice. I love hypnosis. I've seen it change people's lives significantly. I get a lot of people that will come up to me and say that I saved their life, or, you know, that they ended something that they, you know, like a smoking habit or something like that, that, that they couldn't break. And so there was a lot of success early on, and I love that because that's what I'm all about. I want to help people to have really big, profound changes, and I don't want little changes. I want to see that their life has changed completely. That's kind of my driving force. And so that's why I love hypnosis. And, you know, I teach people a lot of, I teach them a lot about it to get past misconceptions. And I have videos on my website under the hypnosis tab that explains what hypnosis really is, if any of the listeners have fears or worries or misconceptions about it. But what happened was, I live in a fairly small town, and so here I am super excited to be offering hypnosis and seeing a lot of great results from it, and people really thankful. But every once in a while, I'd run into somebody who would say, well, you know, it worked for a while until I quit smoking. It worked really awesome until I quit my job, or until I got in this really big fight with my husband, you know, something like that. And so that was a little discouraging to me, even, because I want to really help people. So what I started doing was, I felt like it was stress that was the kind of the deal break, not a deal breaker, but what would bring them the biggest issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And cause them to go back to whatever habit their crutch was. So what I started doing then is what I call mental training. And what I learned personally as a hypnotist is the information then that I pass on to people, so that they understand their mind better. And to me, it's like having a smartphone and being taught how to use it. So we use a very small percentage of our mind, and most, like 98% of the planet use it very inefficiently and actually in a very unhealthy and unproductive way. So, you know, that's negative talk. It's worry, it's doubt, it's fears, it's insecurities, it's second guessing, it's regret, it's hate, it's anger. It's like, all of those things is, I would say, the misuse of our mind. And not only does it make our life experience miserable, it's like living hell on earth, mm-hmm. but we are, you know, we're unhappy and we are sick, and it breaks down your immune system. It breaks down your relationships. It does all these horrible things, right? So that's really what happened, is I started to put together a program to teach people how to eliminate those things. And to me, it's like living what I call a stress-free, mindful life. And it actually is the same recipe for an athlete to have peak performance. Hmm. And so, you know, even though I've worked a lot with athletes and elite athletes, what I've learned is applicable to every human, because just because somebody wants to have peak performance on the golf course, doesn't mean that it's any different. So their ability to be present, to not worry, to not have doubt, to not have anxiety, overthinking, frustration, anger, the elimination of all those things is what makes them be their best in their performance. But it's really the elimination of all those things that makes a human being their best at whatever they want to be their best at. And to me, that once they're on board on what I developed, it's a 21-week program, actually 21 lessons. They're scheduled approximately a week apart, and at this point I have them as online courses because I know, you know, a lot of people with their schedules and my schedule and how, you know, different my work is now, I really refer most people to the online courses. So at times I'll do some private sessions, and sometimes I'll do what's called a custom personalized hypnosis audio. And that comes with two sessions, and then I make somebody an audio. But I only really recommend that when they have some big bump in the road. You know, they have some personal issue that they just can't seem to get past, which is very different than what I would consider normal human issues, which is the normal human issues are worry, doubt, fears, insecurity, second-guessing, regret, and all that. Like, if somebody's having those, then I refer them to my mental training program that comes with, you know, hypnosis audio, but they can also buy hypnosis audios kind of a la carte. I have a library of them. So it's really, you know, pick and choose based on what they believe is going to work best for them. And then we do offer free consultations or strategy calls if somebody's just like, I don't know where to begin. But, yeah, so I don't really do the one session, because to me it's bigger than that. And if somebody's 30 years old, 40 years old, or 50 years old, they've spent a majority of their life worrying, doubting, fearing, insecure, regretting, confidence issues, like whatever it is with them, it's been going on a long time. So you can't just have one session to get rid of that. It's a process, and I take it, I call it a training program because I don't believe in just preaching a bunch of stuff and somebody getting super excited, but then not knowing how to apply it. So I take people through a step-by-step process that has homework that helps them to implement what they learned that week. And then the next lesson, whether it's a week later, 2 weeks later, you know, whatever their schedule permits, they do the next lesson, which builds on the one previously, and then it has new homework. And it really, again, takes people through a process of eliminating the types of thoughts and beliefs that would hold them back from being their best or make them miserable or sick, and help them to not only remove those, but then replace them with healthier, more efficient use of their mind.
Okay. So, Dawn, with the 21-week or the 21-lesson program that you mentioned, is that what, like I see on your website, is available in online courses where you have the clay shooting, the athlete's mind game, the golfer's mind game, stress-free living, peak human performance, weight loss and wellness? Does that 21 weeks or lessons, does that cover all those broadly, or do you get specific within each discipline separately?
Yeah, so those are all the online courses that I offer right now, and kind of not just the online courses, but even if I do a live program, whether it's a lecture or, you know, a weekend clinic or something, those are the primary topics. So I feel those are really what I've seen over the years to be the most umbrella, you know, like stress-free mindful living can apply to most every human on the planet. And then you got success, peak human performance, which is more for like somebody who's striving in their work, their career, wanting to just do better in that area. And then because I work so much with golfers, I've got the one for golfers and then one for clay shooters for the same reason. And then I get contacted by a lot of different athletes, like high divers and equestrians and such, so that's why I made the athlete mind game one. The weight loss is still to come. That will be my next one. But the training itself, the nuts and bolts is that I developed personally, is basically the same in all those because it's applicable to every human. So, you know, just because somebody's worrying in golf or trying too hard to force something in golf, it's the same exact thing with another human that's trying to force something or trying too hard or frustrated in work or in their personal relationship. It's actually the same use of their mind, or we should even say misuse of their mind. So even though it can fall under different topics, it's the same problem and it's the same solution. Does that make sense?
It does, yes. So when we're looking like specifically at the clay shooting online course, can you get in to a little bit more on what that's going to look like specifically throughout the class? Because I think that could relate a lot to hunting as well.
It really takes a person through the process of, you know, the first four lessons. I call them the foundation. So to me, it's like building a house, and you need a really good solid foundation before you start really adding bigger stuff to it. So the first four lessons teach people the basics of their mind, their conscious, subconscious, their ego, things like the critical factor. There's certain aspects of the mind. And then also it comes with what I call the 20-minute hypnosis for transformation. So I've made a short hypnosis audio that's part of the training process that teaches people not only to relax their mind, but also helps them ultimately to have less stress, because stress is the negative use of your thought patterns, right? I can't believe that such and such is happening, or I'm worried that I won't do well when I get out there, or, you know, like if the woman's out there shooting with a bunch of men, she might have thoughts about, you know, not being good enough or whatever. Or if she's new to hunting, she might go out there and think that I'm too nervous, I'm too scared, or I don't think I can do it. So you start to recognize that it's the thoughts that cause the feelings in the body. And so in the first few lessons, I'm teaching people about the basics of their mind. You got to understand the basics before we can build on it. And then the lessons from there, again, just start building on it, where a person learns how to eliminate the negative thoughts. There's a way to eliminate them in the moment, which is kind of like putting out a fire. But then I say eventually you'll create less fires, because through the training process, you'll learn how to perceive things in a healthier way so that you don't even get angry. You know, you don't even get frustrated. So there's kind of short-term solutions, and then there's long-term solutions, and I'm teaching them both at the same time and giving homework and examples that people can apply those in many different ways that they can, whether it's work or home. To me, that's the practice field. You know, if you can find as many opportunities as possible to practice what I'm teaching that week or in that particular lesson, then when you go to apply it, whether it's sport or the day that you're going out hunting, you already have the familiarity with it. You already have the understanding and the comfort with the application of it, and even hopefully it's starting to feel like it's just how you handle things. That way you're not just trying to pull it out of your pocket in the heat of the moment, because that won't work. Mm-hmm. So I would say either the stress-free mindful living program or the clay shooting mind game mastery, either of those. And again, as I said, the nuts and bolts are the same either way. It's going to kind of ease in one direction or the other. You know, I'm going to talk more about clay target sports and competing and you know, moving from one station to the other. I'm going to talk more about that in the clay shooting one, where the stress-free mindful living is going to be more about, you know, just human experiences, going into a meeting more mindful, you know, how to leave something, how to leave a conversation or an experience that maybe it didn't go your way, and how to think about it in a better way. You know, building confidence is a big part of the program as well, because to me, confidence is like a big bowling ball, and it knocks out all the pins. Mm-hmm. And the pins are all the negative thoughts. So, you know, somebody who has confidence, and I teach confidence with humility, not arrogant kind of confidence, but if you have confidence with humility, you don't worry so much, right? You don't second guess yourself. You don't regret things. Like you have an understanding of who you are. You're humble about it, and you don't have to worry then, right? You don't have to regret. So anger and all that stuff can be easier. It, over time, can get less and less the more we grow somebody's healthy confidence. Mm-hmm. So that's, and that's in both programs, because that's part of peak performance either way, okay. You know?
Yeah. And so I've helped put on a couple, like, learn to upland hunt clinics. And what I've noticed, I guess more frequently than not, is people are spending a lot of time, you know, with shooting practice, shooting at the range before they feel comfortable enough to actually walk a field and shoot over dogs, and even that are planted birds, you know, in those situations where you're not hunting wild birds. So, you know, usually around where the birds are going to be and you can be prepared, but they have this like big disconnect between, they just don't feel comfortable or confident and ready enough to go to the field. You know, like after a couple hours of shooting practice, they just said, nope, I need more time here. So what do you think is typically going on with that? What is it that they don't feel comfortable about when they've been shooting clays for almost 2 hours?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of different things come to my mind. First of all, I remember once learning to go scuba diving, and I think I was in the pool like a couple hours, and next thing you know, they're taking me out to 40-foot water with big old waves. I was like, I ain't going in.
Good point,
I didn't
feel
ready. So, right. You know, there's really a lot of different reasons, and I think that's one of the important things to remember is every human being is different. Now, we can throw things into categories, and ultimately, the solution could potentially be the same. I mean, if somebody had something abusive happen to them, a really scary experience with a gun or something like that, you know, that's its own area. And that person could be scared going out there because they've had some trauma around it, right? And that's one option. Another option is they didn't grow up around guns. They aren't super comfortable with a gun, but they're really curious. And maybe 2 hours wasn't really enough for them to get comfortable. Or maybe they didn't have 2 hours with an instructor or a person who explained things well enough. So there's a lot of different reasons. But actually going out into the field is still different than being in a building maybe or on a shooting course. There's so many different things. There really are. So it would be a matter of either just understanding that it doesn't, you know, the specifics don't necessarily matter. It's just this person is having worry or doubt or fear or insecurity or they're second guessing. All of those kind of words that I've already mentioned. And there is a way, there's training available to help somebody to learn how to think about things differently and to build their confidence and have less stress and less worry and less doubt and less fear. Now, if it's something a little more traumatic, then that's when I would say, you know, like the hypnosis, that personalized hypnosis audio or something, you know, or some private session, something to help them release whatever it is that they may be holding on to or get past some things. But you know, I think... fear is ultimately what's behind it all. So they're without getting too much into it, but you can really draw a line down between, if you just drew a line right down the middle, thoughts and words and beliefs are either love-based or they're fear-based. So anger is fear-based, worry is fear-based, regret is fear-based. And, you know, a lot of people, I say that too, especially my male clients will say, I'm not afraid. But, you know, if you just look at worry, like I'm worried that I won't do well, is really I'm afraid that I won't do well. Regret is, you know, well, I regret that I did blah, blah, blah. Well, no, it's really I'm afraid that I did such and such, but I should have done such and such. So, or I'm afraid that because I did such and such, it caused such and such. So fear is behind all of the, let's say, negative limiting thoughts and beliefs that we have. And so really helping a person to understand that and understand what's going on. And like I said, that the understanding of how the mind works can help them to get past those things. So we could safely say then that somebody going out there hunting for the first time, and if they are having any kind of issues, there's fear behind it. And it'll just be a matter of figuring out what fear or not, just going through something like my program and learning how to think differently, and then learning how to think in a healthier, more constructive way so that they can go out there. And not only that, but as I said, there's techniques to put out the fires immediately. So if all of a sudden, you know, somebody thinks they're ready and they go out there, and the next thing you know, they're experiencing some fear in whatever form while they're out there, then, you know, they'll have the techniques from my 20-minute audio that they've been practicing to help them to calm their mind and body. And they'll know how to do that because they would have experience at that already.
Dawn, is it necessary to be able to be in a quiet and relaxing environment when we're listening to these on audio? I would assume.
Well, that's another, and it's a really, really great question. There's so much that I've learned over this 20-something years. One of the things, you know, at first, if someone's new to hypnosis or meditation, and this is actually part of the 21-lesson program, at first I have them, you know, put a sign on your door, please do not disturb, you know, turn your ringer off, make sure the dogs are good, whoever you live with, ask them to be quiet. Like, you purposefully create a peaceful environment. You wear headphones so you don't hear things around you. When you listen to the audio, you close your eyes. But I take people through a process, through the 21 lessons, where they do less and less of that kind of thing. It may be, you know, taking the headphones off so you can actually hear sounds around you and learn to not let them disrupt you, right? Even if it's kids screaming in the other room or something. It's being able to be stress-free and mindful is the ability to manage and be the supervisor of your mind. Like, you decide what you're going to think about, and you're in control of it rather than feeling like the victim of it. So knowing how to do that is beneficial. So whether somebody's an athlete or anything, peak performance is peak performance. So, and if we look at an athlete, they need to be able to turn off everything going on around them, including their score or including who they're teamed up with. And they need to be able to be totally present, totally focused in that moment, where even, you know, the phone call that they got an hour before that was an argument is not on their mind when they're looking to be their best. So it's the ability to manage their mind through all different situations. So it's actually part of my training to teach them how to manage their mind through all situations. And part of that is with the 20-minute audio. So to go from, you know, creating this perfectly serene environment so you can relax, to knowing it so well and being better and better at it, that you can ultimately by the end, you're walking and doing it with your eyes open. But I take people through a process where, you know, at one point I say, go in the living room, have the TV on, whoever's at home walking around the house, and you do this, you do these techniques anyways. But by then, they're much more of a master of it, and they are able to manage their mind no matter what's going on around them.
Wow.
But not at first.
I need to sign up for that. You know, because I'm thinking like, okay, well, I think this could help me with shooting. But now I'm like, yeah, because I'm that person. I have like 35 browsers open on my computer and probably at least triple that in my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, like my husband and I can be listening to the same podcast, and then we'll be talking about it a couple of days later, and he'll say something like, oh, I didn't hear that. Because
yes.
It's to be able to stay, you know, focused, I suppose, on one thing. So it's good to know that you teach that as well, because that's a huge piece of it, is knowing how to turn it off.
Yeah, focused is, again, a big part of human peak performance. So you want to be your best with your husband, you give him your undivided attention. Right? That's the ability, especially as a parent, to tune out, you know, the laundry and the garbage can that need to be brought out to the curb, and, you know, whether the kids are asleep or not, you know, it's all that stuff. So the ability to be totally present, totally engaged, where you, and that's a decision and it's deliberate, and to not to know how to do it, know what it is, but then also to do it, right? Like mm-hmm. knowing what it is different than being able to apply it. So again, that's another skill that you can get better and better at. But that's peak performance with your husband, mm-hmm. being fully engaged like that. But that's the same, you know, and hunters, I use hunters as an example all the time with clay target shooters, because, you know, a lot of clay target shooters are super analytical. They want to measure. They want to know all the specifics and all the details and, you know, 2 feet ahead or, I don't know, you know, all this mechanical measurement stuff. And what I tell them is, you know, you need to shoot intuitively. Like, yeah, you can be methodical on the front end where you make sure that you set up properly and you're making sure that your body's in the right position and all this other stuff. But ultimately, trusting your gut and trusting your intuition is what happens when an elite athlete breaks the target or does whatever. They say, it didn't feel like me. It just happened. It was awesome. It was felt really, really good. I didn't think about it even once. My mind was quiet. So, you know, that's part of what I would say is I've researched over the last 20 years is what's considered the zone state. And so a lot of hunters do that. They're out there. And part of the zone state is you're very much in the moment. You're paying attention to details, and hunters listen, they see, you know, some of them are really good at tracking and all these other things. And that's paying attention to detail and being in that moment. You're not thinking about what's for dinner. You know, you're not thinking right. about the morning conversation. You're totally present. And I read this book once about a walkabout with Aborigines, and the hunters, because with a walkabout, there's people that do different, have different jobs per se, but they take that job very seriously. Like when they hunt, they become the hunter, and they're not thinking about, you know, something this morning or what they're doing tomorrow or whatever. They are hunting and they're the hunter, and they can tell when even a bush has moved by an animal days prior. Like they are so in tune with the earth, and they're so in tune with details and aspects of that, that they can sense things. And it's super cool when you really stop and learn about that and understand it. But I think hunters are a really good example of shooting instinctively and intuitively, because you didn't have a show bird, you know, you didn't have somebody say, right. by the way, it's going to come out right there and it's going to do this in this angle, this direction, and at this speed. And here's right. the line that you need to plan. You don't do any of that. And you, but, in, you know, obviously people are able to still hunt well. Mm-hmm. So, especially bird hunting. So, you know, obviously though, like anything else, performance can be hindered if somebody's worrying or doubting or fearing or you know, insecure, second guessing, lacking in confidence, because they won't pull the trigger, or they'll flinch, or they'll just shoot above, or you know, the different things like that that could happen, or they won't shoot at all. Right? They won't even pull right. the trigger,
or we forget to turn off our safety.
Yes. Yes, and that's mindfulness. So being able to go through this little process of making sure your safety's off is mindfulness. It's mm-hmm. there's a sequence of events that when you are in the moment and when you're being your best. So the moment of it's time to take the safety off, you know, your best self in that moment would have been present and engaged, and it would have done it if you were like, okay, this right here, right now. Mm-hmm. What am I doing right here, right now? Well, I'm getting ready to, you know, walk out there. I'm getting ready to shoot. I you know, see something I want to shoot or whatever. And that's, you know, there's aspects of being yourself that you can break down, your best self. You can break down into 5-minute increments if you really wanted to, or 15-minute increments. Or I have something called a post-segment routine. I have a pre-segment routine. The post segment is how can I process what just happened in that segment of time so that I can learn from it, so I can understand it, so I can grow from it, and so that the next time I'm in a similar situation, I can apply what I just learned so that I can evolve and continue to get better. So that's the post segment. Mm-hmm. And the opposite of that would be that didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I'm so annoyed and I hate this, or I don't want to ever do this again, you know. So that's the opposite way of being after something. You know, and then you can take all that and turn it into what I call the pre-segment. So again, segment of time could be 5 minutes. It could be an hour. Segment of time might be I'm driving an hour down the highway. On the front end of that, you can be intentional. You know, I want to make sure I have something to drink. I want to enjoy this drive. Let me get an audio book, or let me get some of my favorite stations ready on the radio, or I'm going to call my dad because I haven't spoken to him in a while. So there's things you can do on the front end that's mindful and intentional for that segment of time. And it could even be, I want to enjoy this drive and how beautiful it is outside. And, you know, then you roll down your windows. And so that's being mindful. And that's, here's a segment of time that I'm going to prepare myself to go into it and enjoy it again, versus I'm going to, you know, next thing you know, you're getting a phone call and you're arguing with somebody, or you're frustrated because there's traffic, or, you know, I should have been there already, or I don't like this highway. When are they ever going to finish the construction? Like, there's all sorts of other ways that you could be. And if you just can fall victim to it if you're not mindful and know how to be aware of that and how to correct it.
Right. And I think with a lot of us, I know I can relate with a lot of my listeners that I've talked with. We're out there hunting because we're doing it because we enjoy watching our dogs work. We put a lot of time training and testing our dogs, and we know how much joy this brings to our dogs. And therefore we want to share that enjoyment with them and provide that in what they were bred to do. So the shooting portion of it is something I think a lot of us have a struggle with, because it's not something that we practice in the off season. Some, but maybe not as much as we should be, but it's come so much more secondary to every other part of hunting. I would say the shooting part. So there is a lot of fear and doubts that we're walking out in the woods or the prairie with just right out of the truck, because we want to be able to give our dog that reward of the bird. And then be able to put it on the plate for us. But so I think that's a lot of the struggle for myself and the listeners. And it's just funny how much work and training we do with our dogs to be great at this game. And then here we are not doing that for ourselves to be great at it. Right? You see what's happening there?
Yes. Like how you did that. That's very interesting, but not surprising, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, especially for women tend to be self-sacrificers. You know, they will raise their kids and raise their husbands, and next thing you know, they, you know, especially when they're empty nesting, they like, and I've had a lot of women come to me over the years that are right there at that age where they're empty nesting, and they're like, I don't know what to do with my days. I don't know what to do with my life. And I've said to them, well, what do you enjoy? And they were like, I don't know. Like, well, what do you have, hobbies, interests? They're like, I've not thought of that stuff in years. And so there's definitely a tendency for women, and not all women, but to be very maternal and take care of the house and take care of the kids and take care of their husband. And they don't really take care of themselves. And here you are giving an example, taking care of the dogs and, you know, being super excited for the dogs. It's just like taking care of the kids. I mean, super excited to watch them go out there and have fun or be their best and do something they love. I mean, all moms love seeing their kids do something they love, and definitely seeing their little doggies do something they love. And but are they taking care of themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like I was just at a wing shooting, instinctual wing shooting clinic last weekend. And I had a really interesting conversation with the instructors afterwards. And I said, or asked them, what is it that a lot of us are doing wrong as hunters? What are you noticing that we are struggling with in the shooting aspect? And they both said right away, just, we need to slow down. That we're just going too fast. We're too quick on the trigger. And, but I'm like, well, have you ever rough grouse hunted? in like where the birds are really highly pressured, because you have to be quick.
Yeah. Right.
but it was interesting of just like, how do we slow down, knowing that if we do a little bit, we will have a better shot.
Right, right. Well, and again, slowing down, I would say, is being mindful. You know, being able to calm your mind, calm your body is the hypnosis aspect of it, and the training. Like, it's not only awareness of what kind of thoughts you're having, the quality of your thoughts, and then that can cause a react. It does cause a reaction in the body that we might call fear or anxiety or too amped up or whatever. But it's actually the ability to calm your mind, quiet your mind, calm your body, and quiet that. Like, that's, and be totally present. So a calm, present, engaged mind and body is what I consider the ideal, optimal state where you're going to be able to be your best and offer your best self. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and so that, so I'd say he's right, right? So you can't rush things. You can't force things. I mean, you can, but you're not always going to have your best outcomes. If you're rushing them, forcing them, trying too hard, jumping the gun. Oh, I never thought of that phrase before. Jumping the gun. That's what you're talking about.
So, I like what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll play on that, huh? Yeah. So it's, you know, definitely the solution's the same. You know, it's being able to be confident, calm, present, engaged, focused, quiet mind. It's all of that, and that's what I, you know, believe to be the solution, and therefore why I teach people how to do those things.
Mm-hmm. And so, on a personal note, and kind of vice versa to what you said there, I have struggles with when the dog is on point. I know exactly where the bird is. Like you have a pheasant that's dug deep into some thick brush, and so you just know, be ready, be prepared. And I almost think I have too many thoughts going into it, or I overthink it. Where just when I'm like, okay, I'm finally set up, where it's not where I'm just walking and a bird pops up. But I have time to think about this one, and I'm set up. This is where I want my feet. Yeah. This is where I want to be in the ready position. And then I miss. And a couple weeks ago, I went on a sporting clays course, and I had, like, there was an instructor with me, and not that I was there for instruction, but he did offer it. And he said, you need to not know where the clays are coming from, because you shoot much better when they just all of a sudden go out there. And I'm like, oh, you're so right. So I stopped yelling pull, and he just started launching them, and then I would hit them. So what's the deal with
I need your help.
I'm clearly overthinking, right?
That's overthinking. Yes. Mm-hmm. Overanalyzing. That's beta. That's the beta activity of the mind. And alpha is a quieter mind measured by EKG. So conscious mind in a calmer state is in the alpha state. And an even calmer, quieter state below that is theta. And then the quieter, calmer state below that is delta. And delta is what we call sleep. So hypnosis happens to be alpha theta, depending on if you're you're barely relaxed or super relaxed. When you translate that into kind of walking around and functioning in life, it's a matter of, how much am I overthinking this, and how much am I analyzing it? So what I love about that example you gave, again, just going off my experience with athletes who want their peak performance to show up in their sport, a golfer has a lot more time to think than like a soccer player, right? And so what I've learned by seeing these different kinds of sports and athletes is that soccer players is hopefully, you know, more intuitive, more instinctive in the moment and engaged. It's easier for them actually than the golfer who's kind of, you know, takes a shot and then walks for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, so they can be thinking about all sorts of different things. When I see that in the clay shooting world, there are people that will say, well, I'm not a big fan of sporting clays because you shoot like 3 pairs or 4 pairs. Well, you're shooting at 3 pairs and they're the same pairs. So by the time they get to the 3rd or the 4th pair, it's pretty methodical. It's pretty repetitive. It's kind of boring, if you want to say, because they're shooting the same pair over and over again. And their mind tends to wander. So then there's some of them that say, I love fee tasks. So because fee tasks, they can, it's more variety and it's more interesting by nature of how the conscious mind works. It likes what I call, you know, like the shiny penny, but it gets bored with the shiny penny after it becomes less like new, right? And driving down the highway, the conscious mind can get super bored. Same old thing, monotonous, repetitive. And so you can be, your mind, your conscious mind can be very active and very analytical. So one of the reasons I say to clay target shooters to be like a hunter is because hunting, like I said, there's less measuring, there's less analyzing. There isn't pre-planning where the target's going to come out, and then they analyze and decide how they're going to break it and shoot it, and all that can cause problems. So actually what that person, that instructor did with you, I really like that. He was helping you to shoot instinctively and intuitively. You're out there being, you know, a wing shooter, and you've been hunting birds for a while. So you have more of that intuitive experience already. And then you came into a clay shooting world where you were, you know, trying to measure and plan, and it backfired on you, which it would. And for a lot of people, so it's not really surprising what you said. So, but the solution is really a happy medium, like being able to learn how to shoot a gun, being able to understand the makings of a gun, being able to learn mechanics, all that's really important. And to get repetition and familiarity, you know, you wouldn't just hand somebody a gun who's never had one and say, now go out there and shoot some birds. The mechanics side of it's super important, you know, making sure the gun sits properly, making sure the person's comfortable with the gun. Like all of these things are important. And I would say use the analytical mind, being able to, you know, also recognize when you're being too analytical or the conscious mind's too involved, where you need to quiet it. That takes the training. It's an understanding of what's happening here, and I know how to fix it, and let me apply the fix, so that you can go back to being instinctive and intuitive on top of the fact that you have mechanics in your body, you know, of how to use that gun, how to shoot the gun, the comfort level with the gun, and you know, and all of that.
I think so often we overlook the mental training from the physical training. And
yes.
Would you agree? I mean, like, I know, like, my family's all wrestling. My dad wrestled, my husband wrestled, my brother wrestled, my other everybody wrestled my family. And yeah. They always said, like, you know, in that sport, it's 90% mental, 10% physical, which isn't what you see from the bleachers. But
you're right.
To get into that mindset, you know, what is your thought on it with clay shooting and hunting? How much of that is mental versus physical?
Well, there's a lot of controversy around that statement. I've written some magazine articles myself addressing it. I actually wrote a magazine article a few months ago for Clay Shooting USA magazine, and I said it's 100% mental, but I knew I was going to ruffle a lot of feathers when I did that.
Okay.
And my my argument was even the mechanics are in the mind, right? I mean, let's just say, like, your mechanics are programmed as well in the mind. But let's put that aside and let's just go. I still think it's 90% mental, which is the, you know, the next article that I wrote. And that's because, you know, you can have an expensive gun. You could you can have hired the best instructor. You can have the best ammunition. And then, you know, the more you're into it, you can have the best glasses or whatever, the best shooting vest. You can have all sorts of great, cool things, you know, and you can even look really good. You can have all that. And if somebody's wealthy and can afford the best of the best of the best, they could pay for all that. And then they can still go out there in doubt, or they can still go out there and have fear, or they can still go out there and be thinking about an argument they had with a loved one at 8 a.m. You know, they can still do those things mentally, and it will fumble them up every time. So that's, to me, why it's 90% mental, or however you want to look at it, because the mental will trump everything else if you allow it to. No, I shouldn't say if you allow it to. It just will. So if your mind is on point, as well as all these other great things, meaning confident, calm, present, engaged, focus, those great things, you're able to do that on top of having the best of the best of the best, you know, guns and instruction and all that other stuff. You're going to have some great outcomes. But if you have anger, if you have worry, if you have doubt, you have none of the other stuff matters. None of it. It'll trump it. So to me, that's what that 90% mental is all about. And again, to me, that's applicable to all human beings in all sports, all interests, all hobbies, all anything and everything in life. Say at work, you know, like you have a really important meeting, or in sales, you're trying to close a deal. You go into that meeting worrying, doubting, fearing, insecure, second guessing, and it's all the same as what you're seeing out there in the field. It's the same, a hesitation, second guessing. I shouldn't have said that, or not saying something. You know, that's all, that's like not pulling the trigger. You know, so it's all the same. And doing that in a meeting means that you're not your best in that meeting. And then you can be frustrated and everything else about that. So solutions, the recipe is the same. It's peak human performance and how to have that and how to eliminate the things that are keeping you from having it. And again, you know, the lessons have homework. So like I just gave an example of a meeting. If a person applies that in a meeting and applies it at work and applies it at home, then it will be really easy when they're out there hunting, because it'll be second nature to them then.
So which of your online courses would you more suggest for me and the listeners? Would it be the clay shooting course, or would it be your peak human performance course?
I would say if a hunter truly has some crossover with target sport, like meaning they kind of like it and or would like to know both, you know, then I would say do the clay shooting online mastery online course. But if they're really more of the hunter, and sometimes they go to a shotgun sport club to just have an opportunity to shoot their gun, then I would say do the stress-free mindful living online course.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, honestly, either way, now that I think about it, I mean, I own a shotgun sport club. So some people come there before hunting season and they really just want to shoot the gun, and they might go to my patterning board, or they might just go out and shoot like the same target over and over again, the same general area. If that's the kind of person and that's why you're going to the shotgun club, then do stress-free mindful living. If you truly go station to station and go around a sporting clay course or super sporting, sporting clays, a lot of people don't know this, but sporting clays is meant to simulate hunting. It's supposed to be in a more natural environment. The, you know, stations kind of weave through bushes, woods, vineyards in Italy, whatever. But, it's, you know, it's meant to be more natural. The targets and the presentations are meant to simulate birds or rabbits or squirrels, you know, different things. That's really what's behind sporting clay. So if somebody treats it as like an opportunity to practice their hunting, going station to station and doing it like that rather than staying at one station and just shooting their gun over and over, then do the clay shooting mind game mastery, because they'll learn how to move on from the miss. They'll learn how to prepare going into a station, and they'll make more sense for them. Somebody else, if they're not using a sporting clays course in that manner, or they're going station to station, peg to peg, then they'll just be like, well, I don't even know what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Some of the other offerings you have as well, I wanted to touch on, you have virtual training, and then you have, do you want to talk on that?
Yeah. Different ways that people can learn from home, basically. So there's, one is called Mental Training on Demand, and there's several hundred 10 to 15 minute videos and audios that give mental training tidbits. So that's, you know, there's like a very minimal monthly fee for someone to subscribe to that, and they have full access to the several hundred videos, and I'm adding to that all the time. So that's Mental Training on Demand. Quick, easy, you know, here's a 10-minute video I can watch in the morning with work that I can apply to my day to help me to think better. I have a Dialogue with Dawn Live, which right now is happening once a month, and that's Q&A, and that's, again, virtual, so like using Zoom. The online courses are virtual as well. I think that's it for the virtual.
Okay. And then
I have the live.
The live training, the different clinics.
Yeah, I can come out to somebody's area, whether they're club or, you know, I've gone to people's homes even, and I can do like weekend clinics. I can do lectures. I can do week-long workshops. You know, I did mention that I can do personalized custom hypnosis audios that include two sessions, but that those would be via phone or Skype. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I have my book. I wrote a book for golfers, but it's really a good little small synopsis of some of my biggest mental training lessons, with the homework again at the end of each chapter and how to apply that. So it's called 7 Strokes in 7 Days. Mental training for golfers, but really anybody in any sport, it's applicable to life as well.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a couple of free webinars that we can check out as well.
Yes. So right now I have the free webinar for clay shooters. It's called The Elusive Zone. Again, the information is applicable to all people and all sports. And it goes over a lot of what we talked about today, actually. But it's related to, you know, the worry, fear, doubts, insecurities, and how that affects people in their lives and their ability to do well. At the end of that particular free webinar is an application. So a person can apply for that free consultation. So that's really the avenue to get the free consultation. So if any of the listeners want to do the free consultation strategy call, then I would recommend they watch the Elusive Zone webinar and, you know, get to the end and get the application. In the next few weeks, there will be other topics for free webinars, because as I mentioned at the beginning of this call, you know, the athlete mind game and the golfers and the stress-free mindful living, it's my plan is to offer free webinars for all those main topics. So the stress-free mindful living free webinar will be getting done in the next few weeks, as far as, you know, where I have my presentation ready, and I'll do the first first sharing of that where people can sign up to it. And speaking of that, if they want to just get my newsletter so they know when I'm doing these things, they can just sign up for that when they go to my website, either at on the bottom of the page or in the pop-up that comes open. They can get the newsletter.
Okay.
By just, you know, offering me their email address, and then they'll know when I have when I launch the Stress-Free Mindful Living free webinar in the next few weeks, and they can be a participant in the first one.
Perfect. I will be putting the link to your website in the show notes. And how else can we connect with you, Dawn, and find out more information and your social media handles?
Yeah, so dawngrant.com is my website. If you guys are in Northeast Florida at any time, I own Amelia Shotgun Sports, so that's ameliashotgunsports.com. Those are the two main websites. I have an invention coming out in the next few weeks. It's called Mind Mastered, and that's mindmastered.com, and it's an app and a website. That what I've done is I've pre-recorded short hypnosis suggestions, and a person can make their own hypnosis audio. So again, if any of the listeners are like, well, I don't even know for sure what hypnosis is or if I trust it or whatever, they can learn all about hypnosis on my dawngrant.com website. But what I've created is a step-by-step way of choosing an induction, choosing suggestions from different categories. There's spirituality, there's weight loss, there's sleep, you know, all these different categories, and they can choose multiple suggestions and then what's called an emerge out. And then the app and the website actually compress that into your own hypnosis audio. So I've been working on that for a while, and I'm super excited because it's about to launch.
Sounds exciting. Yes. Congrats.
Yeah, that's mindmasters.com. So, and then the social media, I always just say, you know, search Dawn Grant or Dawn Grant Mental Training. And I'm on like every popular social media site. You can just search that. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Dawn. This has been really interesting topic that I think is often overlooked. So I'm so glad I fell upon some of your content to get in touch with you on this. This has been really enjoyable to learn from. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bird Dog Babe podcast. Send me an email or DM me on social media and let me know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode with Dawn Grant. My guests and I love to hear your feedback. Also, please support the sponsors and partners of this podcast, Purina Pro Plan, Bosch Shot Shells, Siren Shotguns for Women, and Dakota 283 Kennels. And please be sure to become a member of the conservation groups of the species you're chasing after this season and the organizations that advocate for the public lands in which you hunt. I hope to see some of you at the NAVDA Invitational this weekend. Good luck to everyone running at the Invitational. You've put in a lot of time and birds. Relax and let your dogs do their thing.